Welcome, Karen.
Thanks for having me.
I really enjoyed learning everything I did from the book. After all these years, why did Gypsy's story intrigue you?
Well, it started with my grandmother, actually. She's 92 years old, and so just a few years younger than Gypsy would have been. Gypsy would have turned 100 years old on January 8th. And so my grandmother always told me stories about growing up during the Great Depression, and she once relayed a tale about a cousin who claims to have seen Gypsy Rose Lee perform in 1935. And the cousin said that Gypsy took a full 15 minutes to peel off a single glove, and that she was so damn good at it, he gladly would have given her 15 more. So this story got me thinking, you know, who was Gypsy Rose Lee? Who could possibly take the simple act of peeling off a glove and make it so riveting that somebody might be compelled to watch this for a full half hour?
I actually watched the video on YouTube, and there wasn't a lot of skin at the end of the six-minute YouTube.
Yeah, that was one of her later acts. That was called The Psychology of a Stripteaser. And, of course, it was this really brilliant self-satirical spoof on stripping and all of the rigorous education she had to go through in order to take her clothes off. And the joke of that whole strip was it was called the Inside-Out Strip. And she would come out in this great billowing Victorian costume with the hoop skirts and the crinoline. And slowly but surely, you know, her garter would appear, a glove would peel down, her bra would come flying out, the stockings would go down. But she remained pretty much as clothed at the end of the act as she did at the beginning because the Victorian garments were still on her. But in the beginning, you know, when she first started out, she was as naked as everybody else. You know, of course, there was that one year that she didn't really like to talk about, where she was performing in some really seedy underworld clubs before she became famous at Minsky's in New York City.
And can you share some of the what went on in that year? Because in the book, it hinted at dark secrets, but it really didn't go there.
Well, I told as much as there was to tell. June and her son both said there was a year she didn't like to talk about. So by definition, she didn't really talk about it much. But what they said is she was forced to do things against her will and intimated that one of those things was prostitution. And she was desperate. This is right after Vaudeville died and right before she became discovered in New York City. And, you know, she's eating dog food to survive and living hand to mouth day to day with her mother. And I think, you know, got caught up in some pretty unsavory situations and met some characters and really just did anything she could to survive.
I see. How did you uncover all the facts that you did about Gypsy and her sister and Mama Rose?
I spent 3 years researching the book, and the research included connecting with Gypsy's sister, the late actress June Havoc. I was the last person to interview her. She just passed last March, and her son, I spoke with him quite a bit. And also immersed myself for countless hours in Gypsy's archives at the New York Public Library. Some fascinating correspondence in there, never-before-published letters between Gypsy and her mother, which really shows the intensely dramatic and really crazy back-and-forth emotional bond between the two of them. And, of course, one of my favorite pieces of correspondence of all time, that telegram from Eleanor Roosevelt to Gypsy Rose Lee that said, may your bare ass always be shining. I thought anyone who got a letter from the First Lady that said that was definitely worth looking into.
Yeah. Well, Mama Rose was an ogre. What did you think of Gypsy's relationship with her sister? Am I wrong to think that she could have helped June more when June was starving and doing the marathon dancing, just anything to get by?
Well, you know, their relationship was really complicated, and I think that was part of Mama Rose's design. You know, from a very young age, this woman, their mother, turned her daughters against each other. And she fed them on $1 a day while she carried $30,000 in a bag around her waist. This woman seduced men and women in equal numbers, you know, often for nefarious purposes. She threatened to blackmail Gypsy later on, you know, for every dark and secret thing she'd done before making it big, including making references to that lost year and all the things that happened there. And this woman literally killed more than once to get her daughters on stage. So you can imagine the kind of household they grew up in and sort of their warped view of relationships. And they were always conditioned, you know, never to trust anyone but mother. And that included each other. And I do think that, you know, the girls wounded each other and inflicted wounds upon each other. And certainly Gypsy's idea of help wasn't always necessarily what June needed. There was a period after Vaudeville died when June was really struggling, just as Gypsy had struggled. And she's in Marathon Dancing, which was its own really surreal burlesque. You know, thousands of people would crowd into an arena and watch these teenagers dancing on their feet for months at a time and you know, going crazy and some of them actually going literally insane and a few dying on the floor. I think June's record was standing for 2 months in a marathon dance. And so she goes to Gypsy, and the roles had reversed by this time. And Gypsy is the big star in New York at Minsky's Burlesque, and Gypsy is the one who is now famous, and not June. And so when June asked Gypsy for help, you know, Gypsy can't help but remember all of the perceived or real slights that went on between them as kids. And Gypsy offers to help her, and what she does is hook June up with some of the unsavory characters that she herself had associated with in the beginning. And I think part of Gypsy actually thought this was going to be helpful to June, and it would help June. It did help her, after all. But another part of her was sort of tone deaf and didn't realize, you know, maybe this is not the kindest thing to do to your sister. Maybe, you know, this is not the appropriate place to send somebody that you ostensibly care about. And I just think that might have been a function of Gypsy not really being able to love anyone except for the creation of Gypsy Rose Lee.
And which leads me to the question, what about her son, Eric? And I know that you spoke with him in preparing the book. Was he forthcoming about the family history? How did he feel about his grandmother?
Oh, he was. He told some really great stories. You know, of course, he had a really complicated relationship with his mother. As soon as he was able to hold a camera, she put him to work. So you can imagine this sort of unorthodox childhood. You know, you're undressing, or I'm sorry, you're taking photographs of your mother in all stages of dress and undress and going around the world with her and basically being an assistant as much as you're a son. So that was complicated in and of itself. And then, of course, Rose Hovick, his relationship with his grandmother, he didn't see her very often because at that point, Gypsy realized that, you know, her mother was not, it was not a good thing to have her mother constantly in her life at every moment. And she was trying to sort of extricate herself from the relationship a bit. But there's one great story in the book where she shows up at Gypsy's house on the Upper East Side of New York City, and Gypsy's upstairs getting ready. And Eric comes in and says, Mom, your mother's downstairs. And Gypsy says, well, for God's sake, Eric, go down there and watch her before she clips the Picasso. So Eric goes back down there, and Rose sits down on the couch and says, oh, you must be Eric. And she pulls a gun out of her purse and gives it to him. So, of course, Eric's a little boy here. She's about 6 years old. He's delighted by this treasure. He goes up to show his mother, you know, that Grandma gave him a gun. And Gypsy, of course, confiscates this right away. But it was a message. It was a message to Gypsy, really referencing the one night in 1937 when a dead body surfaced at Gypsy's house and under Rose's during one of Rose's parties. And it was sort of a message to Gypsy that those dark days weren't so far behind her.
Before we talk about the murders, Eric wasn't aware of his father's identity until age 18, and that was Otto Preminger. Did he ever have any kind of relationship with him?
He did, and that was one of the most telling scenes in the book, I think. You know, here Eric is thinking that his father was Alexander Kirkland, Gypsy's second husband, and once in a while suspecting it might have been Mike Todd, who was that big, brassy Chicago showman, and Gypsy's, I think if she was ever able to love a man, it would have been Mike Todd. But it was Otto Preminger, and Gypsy very calculatedly wanted to have Otto Preminger's child. She told June Havoc, you know, I'm going to find the meanest, smartest son of a bitch in the world. I'm going to have his child, and my child's going to rule the earth. So that was her big proclamation. And when Eric wanted to know who his father was, you know, Gypsy's response was to light a cigarette and say, none of your business.
Oh, well, okay, not sure that falls in with parenting today, but...
Yeah, she eventually relented and told him. She told him, but she just, I think she just was... you know, wasn't sure if Otto Preminger at that point wanted to be contacted, but he did, and they did forge a relationship.
Oh, okay. Now, back to the murders. It seems in the book that Rose was involved with three murders, a hotel manager, a hobo, and the young woman artist who lived on Rose's farm.
Yeah.
How much involvement and did Gypsy have or awareness in these murders?
I think that she was likely there for all three of them. She was most definitely there for the hotel manager. This was when they were in the Vaudeville Act. And in order to save money, you know, Rose Hovick was always wanting to save money. She crowded all of the kids, the boys, the girls, the entire Vaudeville Act into one hotel room. So, of course, this didn't please hotel managers, and one of them threatened to evict her. And in the musical, there's this scene where this is going on, and Rose cries rape in order to get rid of the hotel manager. But in reality, the story is that she pushed the manager fatally out the window and claimed it was self-defense. And I think Gypsy and June were there. The hobo, Gypsy, was definitely there. This is after June had left, Vaudeville had died, and mother and daughter were, on the road together. This is during that desperate year, and to save money, they're camping out instead of staying at hotels. And just this poor sap happened to wander past the wrong tent at the wrong place. And with the third thing, the third murder of that young woman, you know, this is a period when 1937, when Gypsy's out in Los Angeles trying to forge a career as a movie star. And really desperate to throw her attention onto that. And in order to get some distance from her mother, you know, she decides one of the ways to do that is to buy a country home in upstate New York and send her mother to live there. And so her mother goes there, and you know, Rose is always an enterprising woman, and she opens up a boarding house, and she boards lesbians and sort of makes an art colony for them where they feel safe and protected, and she sort of, has them working for her on the farm there. Well, she's, known for throwing some pretty wild parties, and the aftermath of one is that one of these boarders ends up with a bullet in her head.
Wow. You do such an incredible job of weaving the history of that time and place. Do you think that there'll be kind of like a TV special about all of this new information, or perhaps another film?
Oh, I would love, I mean, from your mouth to Hollywood ears, one can only dream. But I understand that there's some sort of talk about a film in the works with Barbara Streisand slated to play Mama Rose.
No, I wonder if Barbara Streisand knows how evil the real Mama Rose was.
Yeah, she knows what she's getting into.
Right. Well, what's your next project?
My next project is a female Civil War spies. It's the story of the Civil War as told through the perspectives of these four women, two who work for the Union and two who work for the Confederacy.
Oh, and when will that be out?
Hopefully in 2014.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Karen. It's a very gripping biography. I enjoyed reading it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye.